28 and a half minutes past 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, and as promised, our attorney Gavin Steinhobel from Kloppers Inc. is in the studio again. Nice to see you, Gavin.
Yeah, good to be back, Dave.
I envied you in the looked like in the Drakensberg on a fishing expo.
Yeah.
Hey, with the family. You looked like the rivers were flowing a little.
Yeah, they were coming down properly. In fact, it was quite a lot of sport getting up to the cottage. So it's up in the Camberg.
I've always found when rivers are running like that, that conventional walkers, the hackles and they don't work. You got to use those woolly buggers. And the white ones.
That's right. Yeah, you're not imitating anything at all. You're just dragging something that looks tasty. It's like dragging a hamburger through the water for the trout.
It works, I'm telling you.
It does work. Yeah. No. All the finesse goes out of it when the rivers are coming down like that. But yeah, one of the things that I did notice, obviously you're having the cottage has got no cell phone reception or data. And, it's at times like that you become so aware of how insidious these devices are and how they rob the present from you. Because I turned around at one stage and it was raining and we were all indoors and the fire was going. And I saw my mother, my wife, my daughter and my son all reading a book.
Oh.
And I've never seen that before.
No.
And they were engrossed. And, it's just... My daughter had to read... Aldous Huxley's Brave New World as her matric set work book, and she smashed it in the weekend, and she said, "Dad, I forgot how much fun it is to read." And I thought, yeah, I'm also guilty of that. You know, I find it difficult now to wade through text on the page when everything's so immediate on your cell phone or your iPad. So yeah, I think it's good to have a little detox like that. I'm actually going to make a point of doing it on a regular
A digital detox, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, just sort of, give your brain a break,
Absolutely. There's so much in the...
I think a lot of, what's in you, your creativity and so forth, it only really gets a chance to come out when you're not being distracted by other things,
I'm amazed at how easily distracted I have become, and I'm sure I'm not alone. When I say become, if I for a moment just glance at something on my device, and it draws me in for a fraction of a second, and I'm not interested in that, so I flick to the next, and the next, and the next, and next thing you know,
doom scrolling.
It's like half an hour of rubbish.
I know, when I have to do something, if I have to draft a contract or something, the only way I can really get it done in an hour instead of 5 hours is if I turn my phone upside down and put it on the far end of my desk and I can't see the little red icon come up that I've got a message or that a call's come in. Because inevitably you look and it's unimportant, but just below it is something else that might be important. And off you go, off to the races, you're on your phone for the next 30 minutes.
And equally disturbing, if you care to look for a moment at what's going on, is whatever your view of the world is, or whatever your outlook tends to be, rather than broadening your horizons and learning about possible better ways of doing, being, living, sharing, caring, you get filtered into that particular, and sometimes it's a fairly
it's a siloing effect where you end up in these sort of intellectual silos where you just all you're doing is reading like-minded stuff.
And well, exactly.
Listening to people who agree with you, and that's the problem of the algorithms that they have is they try and throw up things that you are and have shown yourself to be interested in. And that keeps you engaged, and that's all they want, really, is eyeballs on screens. And if you're going to stay engaged, of course, they've got to keep giving you what you like. But if they keep giving you what you like, you only get one point of view, and you don't know what anybody else is thinking or what other ideas there are out there.
And I think it's really, really frightening when you discuss something, possibly, with your significant other or a mate about whatever it is that you are thinking about possibly doing or acquiring or exploring. And the next thing, it's on your phone. How do they know?
Because they're listening.
They're listening.
And I do remember...
those guys.
I'm sure what's out there is far more sophisticated than what we even can begin to fathom in terms of the manipulation of what we want, what we like, who we vote for, all of those things. So I'd imagine that to be the case, but I did want to say something. I do remember one of the utter joys of going to university, and that first week I was almost euphoric, and that was the ability of people to hotly disagree with each other, but there would always still be, you know, there's that amity. It's almost as if you were jousting ideas, and it was so much fun. You know, at that stage, you know, we were still in the throes of apartheid, and there were, you know, those that said, no, this must end, and the others that said, well, if it ends, that'll be the end, and you know, and these ideas, and it was a very, very sort of, everything was up in the air sort of period for our country, and it was just so refreshing that people could speak to each other, exchange these, hotly disagree with each other, but still remain mates and have a beer, and, you know, and I think we've become so partisan, you know, I mean, people like Malema and so forth, you know, they don't want to speak to anybody. They just want to hold on to their hatred and their, you know. And we actually do have to, if we really want to find better modes of living, like you were saying earlier, or better ideas, or better economic ideas, better political ideas, we do have to have an exchange of ideas. Not passions, ideas. And in that marketplace of ideas, may the best idea win. You know, and that's where we are at the moment in this country, is that we've had this socialist sort of idea, and it's produced nothing. In fact, you know, the trail of destruction continues when you have a look at our relations now with the US and so forth. That, you know, we need to have this exchange of ideas, and we need to see which ideas work for us as a society. It's no point turning on each other, because we're rowing in the same boat, you know. If we're going to fight each other on the decks, I mean, we're not going anywhere. So, you know, ultimately, I think that exchange of ideas is healthy and good. And, yeah, probably, I also have been trying, and I'm not very good at it, I've been trying to listen to the other side of the, you know, the socialism versus free market factions in this country. And I don't get it. But, I mean, you have to know what other people are thinking anyway.
Well, it is interesting that at this juncture, you know, there was... When last we met, we were decrying the fact that Action SA had sold out to the ANC to get the VAT half percent pass. Now Action SA is saying, actually, they are holding out now, because the deal that they struck with the government was that they would remove that half percent VAT increase.
Well, you can't hold out after the fact.
Within 30 days. But that's the point. I mean, that's in the news today.
I mean, they were completely duped by the ANC. They must be the last people on the planet Earth who think that the ANC are going to honor what they tell you. You know, it's just crazy that they fell for it. It's so embarrassing for them, I must say. They still seem to be holding. I mean, when does Parliament get back? In the 22nd, I think. And sort of, you know, then you've got till 1 May. There's not going to be a new bill tabled at Parliament or anything like that. The bill's the bill, and it's going through. And if you listen to the ANC themselves and all the other parties that are in the GNU, they're now starting to say, all right, but as long as it's temporary. So it's a fait accompli, and I don't think anybody believes Herman when he says that it's not going to be there. It's going to be a half a percent increase in VAT, and there's nothing more permanent, we know, as Thomas Sowell says, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary tax. The extra half a percent is here to stay, and I can tell you that. I remember I was listening to the vice president say, well, it's, you know, just to cross a bridge, he says, until we get in the next 3 years, we want to get up to like 3% of growth. All right. Well, you know, you haven't said anything about growth. You haven't done anything to promote growth. In fact, all you've done really is destroy our relationship with our second biggest trading partner completely. And I don't know where this growth magically comes from. You know, you've done nothing. There's nothing in your budget that promotes business or the economy. There's been no effort to amend our relations with America. I mean, I see the Ron Jackson bill. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'd encourage listeners to go and download it. Just you can just type into the search Ron Jackson bill South Africa PDF, and you'll get the bill that's being tabled in America at the moment. And the first 11 pages of it just cites all of the non-partisan moves that the ANC has made since about 2022. And it relates to Hamas and Iran and the docking of the Lady R and, you know, the joint military exercises. And we're not non-partisan. We've picked a side, and the side is not America. And the bill is basically a complete review of our bilateral relations. And it's going to, it also is considering targeted sanctions against you know, political figures in this country. So ultimately, I mean, we've really set fire to a bridge there. I noticed in the news that with Trump's new tariffs, everybody said, it's, you know, it's not going to go through. Well, you know, but he just slapped tariffs on everybody. Now there's something like 75 countries are lined up and talking to America saying, we'll drop our tariffs if you drop yours. Mm. And, it, you know, we don't even have a phone number to phone because we've completely destroyed our relations. They don't want to speak to us.
And yet I hear that there are, well, I hear one, if you care to look, you'll see there is quite a lot of suggestion that for, well, let's just say a change. Or yeah. Maybe I'm just being naive, but it would appear that up until this point, South African corporates, big business, has kind of stayed out of the firing line of a political intervention.
Yeah.
But it would appear that with the GNU now hovering on the brink of separation, there seems to have been some pressure brought to bear on both the ANC and the Democratic Alliance by big business and big donors in particular, saying you have to keep the GNU going. There's no, as far as business is concerned.
It's a very interesting dilemma because, you know, on the one hand, most of these people, or most of the donors and also the corporate business in South Africa, they kind of, they sponsor both sides, really. They try and keep things cozy. And I was listening to Helen Ziller, and she made a certain amount of sense because she said, look, you know what's going to happen with the collapse of the GNU? Obviously, will open the door to parties like EFF and MK, and they've got a far more radical socialist agenda than the ANC has, and that'll be demonstrably bad for the country, in the short term especially. But she said, if the DA keeps compromising its soul, we might lose the DA, in which case we don't have a bulwark at all against these ideas. And so she's very mindful of the fact that, that the ANC is using the DA as a partner to press ahead with its radical agenda. And the DA, if it's going to be seen to be complicit in that, will lose its voters and the party will be lost. And it is an important party, regardless of what we think about the DA. It is an important party because it is the primary opposition and it is at least a voice in parliament. So, yeah, I'm glad I don't have to make these decisions because it's a very difficult one to make.
I was curious about Frans Cronje's proposal or his suggestion that there could be a kind of cannonball run, a massive destructuring of government in its present form. If push comes to shove and the worst case scenario in the sense that that the GNU fractures supposedly, it could be an opportunity, apparently, for a move on the chessboard that says if the Democratic Alliance was to call for a vote of no confidence in the president, the belief is across the board it would succeed because all of the other players, all of them, would probably go along with that in terms of supporting that motion. The toppling of the president would then throw the entire structure into disarray and allow for a re-emergence from the ashes of a kind of centrist or a party, part of the ANC that is pro commerce and industry and development and jobs, etc., growth, the Democratic Alliance, and the aligned parties that are all kind of, you know, the DNA of many of the little rats and mice is pretty much the same. You give them 10 points of policy, 7 or 8 of them are all identical. So they're not that far apart. And by far then, that is the majority. So it's an interesting thing. You know, while one sees it as, a doomsday scenario, it might not be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might even just devolve into the need for another general election. So at which election the ANC on current values is going to be down to around 32%. So, you know, that could also be a huge shift in power.
So the winds have changed. We continually talk about them, but they definitely are blowing strong.
It's that uncertainty that's so unnerving. The, you know, the fact that we're playing high stakes, roll the dice with an economy and the lives of people and the country. I mean, you know.
But have you spoken to anyone in America lately?
Yeah. Well,
depending on where they sit, some people are absolutely terrified about what's happening in their homeland, and terrified because, you know, they might be on a margin in the marginalized communities that have been targeted for kind of, well, shall we say, they are out of favor, and as a result, the entire lifestyle of some folk has now been upended. Absolutely. But then there's just the economy. I mean, ultimately, it's free fall.
Well, the American economy is actually remarkably, they've seen the prices go down. You know, so that massive inflation is already a thing of the past.
So is that the latest news?
Yeah. And so there seem to be. Look, I mean, Trump's got this idea, and his idea is quite simply that we trade. We are the market for the world. That's where all their goods and services eventually go, is America. And why should we then face unfair tariffs and subsidize people for trading with us? We should charge them for trading with us. Wow. And that's what he's doing. And the second thing is, you know, it's for all these years of globalism, I mean, America's lost a lot of its industry. I mean, this Detroit, which was a car manufacturing hub, is basically... there's nothing going on there anymore, and that is because people shifted all their manufacture to other countries.
Well, I know the stimulus that he was trying to create has had the opposite effect when it comes to Ford and John Deere, both of them relocating out of America. Ford couldn't get more true blue, red, white, and star-spangled, and John Deere, I mean, proudly American icons, they're leaving America.
I think it's interesting. I think there's change. I think America, you know, hit the wall. Financially, just like we've hit the wall financially, and they've gone, well, you know, we can't run these $1 trillion deficits because who's going to pay the money back? Our children, our grandchildren? You know, it's just a country's just a household, and if you spend more than what you earn, at some stage the sheriff comes to the door. And so we've got America looked at there. They said, well, we can't continue to run deficits with other countries the way we do. We can't continue to spend more than we spend. And we're going to make some fairly radical and robust moves to put an end to that. Because if nobody's got the political will, then every year the budget just the deficit gets bigger and bigger, and the interest payments. I mean, America spends more on interest on loans that they owe than they do on their defense, and their defense budget is massive.
It kind of sounds a little bit like...
It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Much closer to where we're sitting.
Yeah, so, I mean, things have to change, and it's quite obvious when you know, nobody wants to change until you run out of money, and then you go, oh, we can't carry on like this.
Well, now, the last point I wanted to make was that apparently we are out of money.
We're flat out of money, and I must be honest with you, I really... feel that anybody who gives these profligates any more money, because it's not going to go to whatever they say they're borrowing the money for, whoever does that is wildly irresponsible, and it won't be in the interests of South Africans, because you know what, they can only continue with their corruption and ineptitude for as long as there's money in the bank. It'll stop when the money stops.
Well, it seems as if the money has stopped. Apparently, not only in the South African general coffers, but in the ANC coffers, apparently.
Yeah. Well, they've always been mismanaging their funds.
Whatever the last bailout was has already been spent on, rump steaks and Johnny Walker Blue, or whatever it is they've spent. It's gone. Yeah. And now there is a little bit of an oopsie moment. Where are we going to get more from? So no doubt the usual suspects are lining up, but
I don't think the Iranians are going to be around for this round, because...
they seem to have problems of their
own. They seem to have massive problems.
Hellfire raining down upon them.
Yeah, they've lost all their proxies except the ANC. You know, Hamas is gone. Hezbollah's basically gone. Assad's out of Syria. The Houthis are gone. So, you know, they've only got the ANC left, and the ANC seems to have bet the farm on a lame horse.
Yeah. I have to say that if that was my only option, I would be also looking for some form of reprieve very quickly.
Well, it's very simple. I mean, That Moletsi Mbeki said it the best. He said, you know, everybody except the ANC apparently can see that Donald Trump is purely a transactional man. He's not, doesn't take things personal. But he says, if you're going to be under a goer and we're giving you all these benefits, what do we get? So go and ask the man what he wants. Don't tell him he's a buffoon or a white supremacist, or tell him that he doesn't understand the situation properly and that you're going to go and explain it to him. That doesn't work with a transactionist. He's simply looking at it and saying, listen, you guys seem to be were in a goer. You got all this free trade with us. And we didn't get anything back. In fact, not only did we not get anything back, but you ran off and cozied up to all of our global opposition. You know, our global... we've sidled up to China, Russia. We didn't do what India does. India trades with everybody. And they're quite happy to do so. And America don't have a problem with that. They say, well, just be nonpartisan. Yeah. Don't join the fight. You didn't have to take Israel to the ICC. You know?
See, it's interesting. Naledi Pandor, who I always thought was pretty, you know, straight shooter, I don't know why, she's been fingered as the very, very pro-Hamas...
Well, if you read that Ron Jackson bill, they actually put the dates on which she went to Tehran and had a meeting with the Iranian president when they hosted the Hamas leadership in South Africa, you know, and they've got all the dates and receipts, and it makes for interesting reading those 11 pages of that bill, where they just cite all the malfeasance on the part of the ANC, where they were quite obviously not being nonpartisan. In fact, they were inserting themselves into international conflicts that were none of their business, and you know, as you say, they wandered onto the playing field with the big boys, and now they've got their tail between their legs. So.
Well, always an interesting conversation on a Wednesday, and we'll wait for another week to see what happens on the global stage and in the local arena.
Yeah, a bit of Monday, I was sort of, wow, everything's changed again. The winds of change are definitely blowing hard. And they have to. And the reason is that the deal is rotten. I think the taxpayers around the world, the middle class people, the people who work and actually provide the goods and services on which everybody relies, have had a rotten deal for a while. We've managed to develop this massive tick on our backs, this parasite class of people who've got no accountability to the people that they govern. They waste the money that we've sweated to earn, and they give us nothing in return. In fact, not only nothing, but they're an obstacle to growth. They're an obstacle to success. And we need a different deal, not just in South Africa, but in all the countries in the world.
Good point to end our conversation with attorney Gavin Steinhovel from Kloppers Inc. in the Belito Village. We'll catch up again in a week's time, and who knows where we will be then, but it'll be certainly interesting.
Yeah, well, there'll be news.
Keeping tabs. Gavin Steinhovel, thanks so much for joining us on The Morning Show, which now continues.